Good morning and welcome to New Orleans. You can probably tell by my accent that I'm a native, but I've trained all over the place, including in Colorado, where some of our speakers are from, and at the University of London in London, where I trained at Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital. I also have an apology to make, and that is I apologize for talking about foodborne diseases at breakfast time. But I think you'll enjoy this, particularly if you recognize some of the personalities on the slide. So our discussion today will be, do popular TV programs that glamorize survivalists and novices surviving in the wilderness by building natural shelters and consuming raw animals and plants, as recommended by these personalities, and we have to agree that some of these delicacies, I mean, we're in Louisiana, we eat everything, but we cook it first. Incidentally, I can tell you how to make fake crab meat and fake scallops out of stingrays and other species, but we cook all of these things first. And, you know, there's some very good restaurants to get escargot in Louisiana. I don't recommend eating snails raw, and we'll talk about what can happen to you if you do that. And has anybody eaten snake? I see somebody from the military. Tastes just like chicken. Just cook it well. This is a giant snail on the left that you can buy at PetSmart for your kid's terrarium. This is one of our college students on the far right eating a freshwater crawfish during a boating trip. So what I did was to conduct a case series analysis of published cases that identified infectious diseases following consumption of raw plants and animals. The poisonings were all confirmed by positive chromatography. The infections were defined by positive microscopic, serologic, or molecular diagnosis that were conducted usually by the CDC laboratories in Atlanta or by state health laboratories, including our own. Statistical significance was defined by p-values less than or equal to 0.05 with continuous variables analyzed by unpaired two-tailed t-test and categorical variables analyzed by Yates-corrected chi-squares. Just to give you an overview of what we found 38 non-fatal cases of neuroangiostrongylitis, which was actually first described here in New Orleans around the time of World War II. We'll talk a little bit more about it. With eosinophilic meningoencephalitis following the consumption of raw animals infected with a causative parasite, the rat lungworm. In addition, there were 16 cases of paragonimiasis with hemorrhagic pneumonia and one death following consumption of raw animals infected with the causative parasite, the American lung fluke. In terms of plant poisonings, which are much more serious, there were 6 cases of plant poisoning reported in 5 males and 1 female. There were 4 plant poisonings with 3 fatalities following consumption of water hemlock. We have a lot of water hemlock here, and I'll show you pictures of it. And there were 2 fatalities following consumption of poison hemlock. That was used to execute Socrates. A little bit about the infections. Neuroangiostrongylitis, or NAS, the mean age of cases was 21 and a half years old, mostly males from Hawaii. There were no other deaths. There were no deaths from neuroangiostrongylitis, even though it causes meningitis. The prognosis from this is still very good, even without treatment. Other cases were reported from Louisiana and from Illinois. Most males consumed raw snails or raw frogs on a dare. In terms of the paragonimiasis cases, they were more significant because they cause hemorrhagic pneumonia. The mean age of these cases was 27, with 1 death. They were mostly in males from Missouri. All other cases were from states within the Mississippi River drainage basin. Most males consumed raw crawfish while intoxicated. A little bit about the diseases. Neuroangiostrongylitis, the infected stage, is the L3 larva. And there's a picture of the L3 larva at the lower left, which lives in its intermediate snail host that's consumed by the individual raw, greens can also be contaminated with larval snails, and you may not even notice that the lettuce or the greens are contaminated by the larval snails. But there was an outbreak in medical students on spring break in Jamaica from consumption of Caesar salads that were contaminated with larval snails. The diagnostic stage is the larva in the brain. We usually don't do brain biopsies, so obviously this comes from either an experimental animal or a postmortem where you see the larva in the brain. However, even without treatment, we usually recommend treatment. The prognosis is good. Paragonomyosis, as I said, is a lung infection. It is obtained by consumption of crawfish, which are also a host reservoir. The diagnostic stage here is a little bit easier because we can see eggs of the worm fluke, which is a flatworm, in either the sputum or the feces. The pathological stage in man is these larvae encyst in the lungs to mate. And when these cysts rupture, you can actually cough up blood, which is called hemoptysis. So this can be a more serious disease, even though it's a lung disease and not a brain disease. The clinical manifestations of neuroangiostrongylitis, the patients usually present with a terrible headache and a stiff neck. So it looks like aseptic meningitis. And then you do a spinal tap, and they have high eosinophils in the spinal fluid. They have swollen optic nerve heads, which is called papilledema, cranial nerve palsies, severe headache. Most of these patients will recover. This is a very common disease in Southeast Asia where people do consume undercooked snails and raw snails and raw frogs. And the recommendation now is that we treat it. And on the right is a disintegrating larva in the brain. Man is only an accidental host or a dead-end host where these larvae migrate around looking for a spot to rest, but they never reach reproductive maturity so that they cannot complete their life cycle in man. And this causes the pathology in man. It's the migration of the infected larva in both cases. As I said, we usually recommend treatment for angiospongylitis. The military knows a lot about this because there have been a number of cases in Marines on training in Hawaii. Hawaii is a hyper-endemic area for the parasite. The illness is typically self-limited and may resolve without treatment. Anti-helminthic therapy is usually recommended with albendazole or praziquantel because they cross the blood-brain barrier. We usually give adjunctive corticosteroids because of the inflammatory response to the disintegration of the larvae with anti-helminthic therapy. In some cases, because of severe headache, repeated lumbar punctures have been used to relieve intracranial pressure in addition to corticosteroid therapy. In terms of the paragonomyosis, which is the lung infection, all of these were confined to crawfish territory in the Mississippi River Basin. In looking at the descriptive epidemiology of the cases, as we said, most were male, most were on camping, canoeing, or otherwise riverine adventures. Alcohol consumption played a big role, and most ate raw or undercooked crawfish. So we boil our crawfish well and crab boil around here. The reproductive life cycle of lung flukes within their animal host defines the manifestation of disease, including a rare prodromal stage of pain and diarrhea, which is usually underreported or just considered mild food poisoning. After an incubation phase of 4 to 16 weeks, where the patient may have no recall of being on a canoeing trip, a constellation of fever, cough, and hemoptysis, or coughing up blood, occurs with peripheral eosinophilia, high eosinophil count. Although the lung flukes prefer to encyst in the lungs, they can actually encyst anywhere, and there have been cases of brain larvae and paragonomyosis as well. Now, when that happens, that carries a very high case fatality rate. Looking at the descriptive epidemiology of the paragonomyosis cases, most presented with fever and lung sweats, which resembles tuberculosis. So most patients were misdiagnosed as tuberculosis with cough, pleural effusion, and eosinophilia. The diagnosis is a little bit easier to make here. You have to rely on MRI and CT scanning to make a diagnosis of neuroangiospongylitis and suspicion. We can find the eggs of the parasites which mate in the lungs in the sputum or in the feces. In terms of treatment, we do recommend treatment for this case if we can make the diagnosis. Many times we actually have to go in with a little scope through the chest, which is called VATS, or video-assisted thoracoscopy, to take a biopsy and make the diagnosis. All patients in which the disease can be confirmed, we do treat with praziquantel, which is an anti-helminthic agent, and that's the dose. Repeated courses may be indicated in cases of recurrent or inadequately treated pulmonary diseases. Sometimes it takes years for patients to be diagnosed with this, going from doctor to doctor. The last thing we'll talk about is some of the plant poisonings. And do you remember earlier when we talked about the summary of results? Plant poisonings are much more serious than the parasitic infections. There were two fatalities following consumption of poison hemlock, and there were more foodborne infections, of course, than plant poisonings, but the plant poisonings caused more fatalities than the parasitic infections. There were four plant poisonings with three fatalities following consumption of water hemlock. Water hemlock is considered the most poisonous plant in the United States and responsible for more plant poisonings in the United States than any other plant. A lot of plants are poisonous, but you're going to have to chew a lot of hydrangeas to get cyanide poisoning. And there were two fatalities following consumption of poison hemlock, as we said earlier. The problem with plant poisonings is this. The survivalists recommend that you consume or make salads out of edible plants such as Queen Anne's lace, which is also called wild carrot, and wild ginseng. And here's a picture on the left of Queen Anne's lace and ginseng on the right. And here's the problem. A lot of, unless you know exactly what you're looking for, it's easy to confuse highly poisonous plants with edible plants. And looking at this series of images, on the left is wild carrot, next to that is poison hemlock, which was used to execute Socrates. The next picture is wild carrot or Queen Anne's lace, and on the right of that is water hemlock. So you can see the plant poisonings resulted from confusion of edible with poisonous plants. And that's just a close-up of the inflorescences or the flowers of water hemlock and wild ginseng. So in summary, the mean age of the NAS cases 21 and a half years, mostly males from Hawaii, who ate raw snails or frogs. So we recommend you cook your snails and frogs first. The mean age of the paragonomyces cases was 27, mostly males from Missouri who consumed raw crawfish. There were more parasitic infections than poisonings. Plant poisonings caused more fatalities. In terms of the plant poisonings, the most serious poisonings were from water hemlock, which, as I said earlier, is the most common cause of plant poisonings in the United States today. In conclusion, survivor copycat behaviors, consuming recommended foods and plants raw, resulted in significant risk for parasitic infections and often fatal plant poisonings in young males. Consuming raw animals and plants during outdoor adventures, often while intoxicated. Recommended preventive interventions included proper preparation of self-harvested natural foods, wilderness survival training, and alcohol avoidance. Thank you. We have time for a question or two, if we have any questions. Questions about the parasitic diseases of plants or anything. Yes, sir. The years? Okay. The period of time started with the first cases of neuroangiostrongylitis identified at Tripler Army Hospital. And that was in the early 1980s, and the last case was 2013. One of the cases of a snail consumed was here in New Orleans, and it was a young male. The diagnosis was made by MRI and a high eosinophil count in the peripheral blood and in the CSF, and he was treated empirically and did well. Yes? That's an excellent question. The question was, were the snails freshwater or salt water. These are freshwater snails that you can buy at PetSmart to put in your terrarium. They're African giant snails. They have actually been introduced into this country as an invasive species because they consume a lot of plant damaging insects. So they were actually introduced into corn and other areas of agriculture. So they exist in the United States as an introduced invasive species. They're also an imported species, and they are the primary reservoir for Angiostrongylus cantonensis, which is the rat lungworm. The definitive host for the rat lungworm is the rat. Thank you.